2. And good morning, everyone. This is Cynically African, and I want to start this off by saying that I recorded a first episode, but it didn't take. So I hope that this next one takes, and I'm going to make sure I listen to it before it goes out and see if I have to re-record it, because that's a whole bitch and a half. So yeah, we're going to jump right into it. I want to talk today about interracial dating, primarily dating between African and African-descended people and other races. I'm going to use white people as like the moniker of the main mix, and I'll explain why in this podcast. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time, and I think this podcast is a way that I can truly explain it with the fullest amount, and that way people can get the best idea of why I think the way I think and feel the way I feel about this particular issue. Oftentimes I'm not able to fully express myself, and people get snippets here and there of it, of what they think and what they feel, and I'm never able to complete a full idea. So with that being said, I'm gonna jump right into it. First and foremost, in 2018, am I for interracial relationships between Africans and African descended people and other races? I would have to say no. The reason I would have to say no, first and foremost, is because, number one, we as Africans and African descended folk already have this gigantic non-love for ourselves and non-love for each other. And that shows in the people that we oftentimes put emphasis on trying to date. So that's first and foremost. I believe we need to reconnect with the love for ourselves and our love for our other African brothers and sisters. And then that way we can heal the black community. I reference this because there was the strongest we've ever been as a people in the United States, I would say, was during the civil rights movement, when Dr. King emphasized the unity of the black family. And after Dr. King's death, there were definitely governmental implants and contingencies put in place to destabilize the black family, to remove the black man as the head of the household, and to make sure that the black woman sees the black man as a superfluous ideal, and rather than something that is needed to be core to a family unit. Now, I know a lot of my LGBTQ listeners out there will say, oh, well, that's heterosexist, where I'm believing only a black man can lead a household. And I don't want people to think that. I'm just using that as a generalization, because that is something that the government has admitted to, that during the civil rights struggle, Dr. King was talking about economic empowerment and the black family unity. And it's not his talk about civil rights that got him killed. It has been proven that it was his talk on economic empowerment and the unity of the black family that got him killed. So if, you know, we have two different people of the LGBTQ community or the polyamorous community who are all black and they have a working family unit, then that works too. But I, as far as it stands, I believe we need to get back to loving the black family, and then we can, you know, talk about mixing outside once we are strong as a people. My second reason for it is that we as a people are not loved in large part by the world. What I mean by that to say is that, if I were to explain, is that we as a people, our cultures are immensely loved by people who are non-African and non-African descended. Everything about our cultures, our food, our way of life, our dance, our skin color, our strength of our organs, the strength that we're born with, the strength that we have naturally. All of that is loved by people of all across the world, and it shows in how they mimic our culture and how they try to how white people try to tan their skin, and how Asians steal our dance moves, and how they always want us on their basketball teams and travel around the world, and everybody assumes I've been to Japan, I've been in China, and I can't tell you how many times someone's asked me, do I play American football, do I play American basketball, do I dance, do I rap, do I know Kobe. These are all the things that the world loves about us. But there's a lot of evidence of them not loving us, not appreciating us, not respecting us. And one thing I heard from somebody is that the person that the people that you choose to vet as candidates to have a life with are a representation of who you believe is worthy in your life. And what does this mean to say is that if someone can't see, oh yeah, I date and I can see black people of all races. I mean, black people of all black people. And I'm just not just talking about, and I'll get into what I mean by the breakdown of that in a later part of this episode. But I want to, go to the generalization that they don't really love us. They love everything about us, but they don't love and or respect us. So now with those two things, the realization that they don't love us, they love everything about us, and we don't love ourselves like we should. I want to break down some subsets of what my thought process is on is what I've noticed and what I've seen traveling the world and talking to people and just being just awake and aware and not closing my eyes to how people are treated and what people are doing. So one of the things that America loves to do, it loves to prop up certain Africans and African descended people and then tote them as the moniker of what an African or an African descended person is. And then what it also loves to do is that at the same time, it loves to demonize and destroy the images of black people at the same time. So what we have here is we have on one hand, they're raising up certain, and on the other hand, they're destroying the entire black image. Not only is it confusing us, but it's confusing the rest of the world as to who we are as a people. So that they can never, come to a unified decision about what they think of us. And I want to use examples of this. For the people that they, kind of people that they prop up, it's no longer just like light-skinned people. It's just certain Negroes that they deem worthy. And I want to go ahead and use like Idris Elba, Steph Curry, Drake. Because I can't walk down the street and not hear some random Becky talk about how Drake can get it. Or some random older Becky talking about how she loves Idris Elba. Two very, very normal, Negroes to me, like for real, there's nothing outstandingly special, especially like Drake. But you want to know the common thread between the two of them? They're not American African descended people. Idris Elba is accepted by white people because he's British, because he has that British accent. He's seen as an exotic black African American. He's not in the same vein mindset that they put him in as they would like a Tyrone. So they can separate, they can compartmentalize how they view him and compartmentalize how they view Tyrone. Then there's Drake. For the life of me, the only thing I know is he was on Degrassi and he makes a lot of music. I mean, it's so crazy because Drake is just as vulgar and as vile in terms of how he words things as literally any other rapper I've ever seen. And the only thing that separates him is that he's super light skinned and that he is from Canada and was on Degrassi. And I think that's enough. I think that's enough for the white people that love him to be like, okay, are the Asians or the Indians? Indians are Asians. You know, from what I'm don't quote me on it. That's what I've read. Indians are Asians, are considered Asians by, you know, geographical standards. And Hispanics, and that's the only reason. And Hispanics and Latinos, Latin people and Latinos. That's the reason why they love Drake, is that he is separated by those three factors: Canadian, light skin, and he was apparently on the whitest show ever called Degrassi. But they're just two examples of why of male that the white power structure has deemed, you know, acceptable African and African descended people, set apart from, you know, most other African descended people. I'm also gonna get into the female aspect of it. I'm really gonna let all my thoughts out on this. So don't get it. If I have any female listeners out there, don't think I'm leaving you out. And honestly, today, I can only speak from a heterosexual perspective. I do have some, seen experiences, like not knowledge, but seen experiences on the LGBTQ, feelings about this. But for the most part, I'm only gonna speak on what I know to be true about the heterosexual aspect. So bear with me on it. Now, we've touched on Drake, and we've touched on, you know, Idris Elba type African descended people, and how white people have this amazing ability to come, how white people and actually all people who follow a white standard, which are, you know, I'll talk on later, have this amazing ability to compartmentalize how they view certain Africans and African descended people. So that's one subset. One, the acceptable African descended / Negro. That's what I'm gonna call them, the acceptable African descended / Negro. Now there's another side of that when it comes to interracial dating. There is the I wanna label it thug Negro, thug African descended person, because there's a certain subsect of white, and usually it is white girls from what I've seen. White girls and Asians, from what I've seen, by Asians I mean like, you know, like Japanese, Chinese, and such and such and such. And from what I've seen and what I've experienced, there is usually a certain subset that around the ages of 18 to 27, they start to taper off around the professional ages of 24, but they can lead in the 27 range. They usually like to go with what basketball players, you know, they go to college. This is usually in their college years where they find themselves having quote unquote jungle fever, which is a very racist term, but it's the best way to describe it. Jungle fever, where they see these amazingly athletic and amazingly, you know, physically gifted, you know, African and African descended, you know, men, and they just have to have a taste. They have to be in the African descended circle because it's so alluring, because it's something they like, they've always either dreamed of or they always wanted. And there's a certain energy that these young men have, they give off a certain air of, you know, of pride, and a certain air of confidence, and they want to be in the midst of that. They have to be in the midst of that. So you'll usually see like a Becky, or even honestly, I've seen like a, you know, Middle Easterns, you know, like more like, you know, what you would see like the Kardashian type stuff that need to be up underneath of a guy who's 6'11 or something like that. And it's a generic height, so don't quote me on just the 6'11, but usually they're boot up underneath of a tall basketball or football player. And I find that very disturbing for the simple fact that they're picking a partner just because of his physical attributes. And I will say, usually these girls are very, very physically attractive too. Like they have, you know, what you would quote as a black girl body, like a, you know, ample bottom, you know, ample, you know, bust, you know, slim waist, pretty face, you know, but they're not black. So usually you see a lot of them snatched up by, you know, African and African descended men in their 18 to 24s there who are, you know, in sports. This is a common trend. But the problem with that is that after, you know, the age 24, 27, the real world kicks in and they taper off with all these ideals and ideas of how black men are, because all they've ever seen is black men of this caliber of athleticism and this type of attitude. And not always is the attitudes of the black men attitudes the ones of kings and respectable men. A lot of times it's of hood niggas. It's of black men who are so invested in getting money, playing basketball or playing football, and they never really put out any familial ideals. So when these girls want to have a family and they start to break off and they start to be like, okay, I need to find a man, they go back to what they were originally growing up with, because they got their black dick fix for now. Because some of them come back to it in later years. They cheat on their husbands with, you know, successful investment black bankers. And investment black bankers is a very generic job. I just mean any black man of power and prestige who is, you know, also physically imposing, who they can be okay with. They can see themselves, okay, he's worthy, he's black and he's worthy. They often cheat on, there are oftentimes where they cheat on their, you know, either white or Asian or whatever counterparts to be with that man, or even lust after him secretly. But they don't view them as husband material. And if they do, it's because he made it to the NBA. He made it to the NFL. And now he's got money. And now she'll be set for life should she become his basketball or football wife. His trophy wife. That's not an ideal based on respect and love for the man or for, you know, black people. That's based off of greed. And that's based off of fetishization. And that's another reason why. Another subset why I don't, you know, why I say in this manner. So again, we revisit. We have the more acceptable African descended Negro, and then we have the thug Negro. Then there's one more, and oftentimes this is usually white girls. And what I've seen, because I live in Washington D.C., and this is what I've seen, there will be this set of white girls who grew up around black guys, and they're neither amazingly beautiful or amazingly talented, smart, gifted, you know, driven or whatever, but because they're white, a lot of times black men will basically be like Neanderthals and just hoard their white quote-unquote prize. And these white girls are what you would consider ghetto, or, you know, they're not exactly attractive either. Like, there's a lot of them, they are just physically not attractive. They're not, you know, driven and whatever, whatever. So there's that small subset of those who grew up around them, and now they, you know, they say, oh, I grew up around black people all my life, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know if I would say I can really blame them for their choices, because if that's what they grew up around, you know, that's what they like, you know, and that's what they see, you know. And if, you know, there's a certain strength to black men that all other races just don't have, and that's just across the board. Like, I don't care what anybody may feel or think, but we are the strongest men in the world. No one has suffered more injustice worldwide than black men and still come out feeling, being as gorgeous and as beautiful and as strong genetically, physically as black men. And if you don't like me, you can fight me about it. I don't care. So we talked about all three of those. And these are the ones that are, like, I would say about a good, if I were to be like generous with it, 50-50, with the interracial type aspect. Now, taking this into account, taking all this into account, I'm going to put aside the white aspect of it and talk about how all the people that white people have, you know, subsequently affected, try to, are in this too. So it's just another subsect of interracial dating. So I'm not going to make a whole nother chart. So if you were making a whole chart about this, just make it a subsect of the whole, you know, reasons, you know, interracial dating is bad sometimes. Most times. And I don't think I'm going to title that though, that way. But, it's been shown that oftentimes white America wants to be more black. They want to be black without being black. Like an old head used to tell me, everybody want to be black until it's time to be black. They want to have the darker skin. They want to have the thicker bodies. They want to have the strength. They want to have the height. They want to have the swag. They want to have the rhythm. They want to have the confidence. But all while still having white skin. Then there's people like, I want to pick on Indian women. I swear to God, the Indian women want to, brown-skinned Indian women want to white their skin so much that they will pick the whitest, most mayonnaise white man and have a kid with him. Because it's so ingrained in Indian culture due to the fact that the British Empire basically raped them, and like they did with every other continent, and they raped their ideals and they raped their people into believing that white skin is the way to go. Where it's less about white skin being the way to go and more about being more accepted by white people while still talking shit about them behind their back is the way to go. And I think a lot of these cultures are so confused with that mindset. I don't understand how you can try to imitate your oppressor and talk shit about them at the same time. How you want to praise them and, you know, and such, marry them, have their kids, and talk shit about them at the same time. Excuse me. I had to sneeze out that bullshit. I see it oftentimes, like me being Afro-Latino, excuse me, still sneezing out more bullshit. Somebody must be talking shit on my name. Put some respect on it. Where a lot of times in Hispanic Latino culture, they'll put, a lot of the older generation will push their children to procreate with more white looking Hispanics and Latinos. And Latinas, so that they can produce a more white-looking, white-passing child. And I understand the reasoning behind it, and a lot of people have forgotten that back in conquistador days, these people we were getting raped, and we were getting like savagely beaten. Like the larger percentage of people with African skin in the Latin world, in Latin America and in South America, vastly outweighs those who are of a European skin. And that is because during the transatlantic slave trade, when they were bringing massive amounts of Africans across the ocean and we were mixing, our skin color got more and more mixed throughout the continent of South America and Latin America, Central America. So that's just a little history tidbit. So imagine that, and then imagine all these hundreds of years, Latin people are pushing their kids to try to procreate more and more white looking, because the fact of the matter is what they were trying to do was they were trying to produce children in a manner that they would not be subjected to the tortures of being dark skinned. They didn't want their children to suffer the way that they were suffering because they had dark skin. Now that trickles into today in a manner that's quite frankly outdated. And I've always thought to myself, I'm like, why don't we just stop? Why don't we just change the narrative? Why don't you just celebrate dark skin? Because I've seen so many instances where a more European looking Latin woman will ogle me because my skin shines in the sunlight like beauty and gold, like brown gold. But she's fighting her urge to like me. It's very physically visible, and I can like feel the vibes coming off, you know. And that's because they're taught from a young age to not date that, you know. But it's ingrained in every human to love what is, to be attracted to what is healthy, and glowing golden skin is healthy. And so it's always gotten to me that, you know, that's, you're fighting against your natural nature, but whatever. And that's another thing. Fighting against your natural nature is another reason. But I digress. Going back to the Indian aspect, because I have a tendency to trail off, my apologies, and just go on rampants. So there's the Indians it's been told to me that Indian people just don't, like, as a nation, like, as the traditional Indian person does not fuck with black people. Like, it's a known thing. If you have any Indian listeners out there, you know, prove me wrong. So you'll very rarely see any, like, unless they're, like, super white passing, like, black and Indian mixes. And usually if it is, it's the Indian's a guy. Because, you know, Indian men get to fuck whatever they want. The women have to follow these stringent laws. And usually that's how it is in a lot of these cultures. Like, white men get to fuck who they want. Indian men get to fuck what they want. Asian men get to fuck what they want. But God forbid their women step out, then they're ostracized and looked at as this, that, and the third. I think I might have to break this up in different parts because I don't have all the time in the world to talk about this. All right, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to break that up into parts, segments. So I'm going to come back to this at a later time because I don't have as much time as I thought I would. But I'm going to come back to this. The next podcast segment I'm going to do is going to be about how... it's still dealing with interracial relationships, but it's going to be on how it can be detrimental to the psyche of a black person. How the psyche of interracial relationships has been detrimental to black people. So, again, this is Cynically African. I'm signing off. And I hope y'all tune in for the next one. I hope I created a little bit of controversy in order for people to listen. So, peace.